In this week's episode of Your Family Is Not As Bad As You Think, the story of Joseph and his brothers seems a little too familiar. Most of our families have someone a little too full of themselves, one who is favored or protected. There's usually one in our families who picks favorites and makes it clear who they love best. Or there's been moments when we've been tempted to write on a box, "Free to good home," and put it out by the curb with one of our loved ones in it. That never happened in my house. I don't think I could spell home anyway. Anyway, so there's a fairy tale quality to these stories, to the details of this coat of many colors, or long sleeves if you read one of the versions. And it threatens to undermine some of the humanity of this story. Talking about the kids with jealousy, we all feel jealousy over someone else's gifts, seeing someone treated differently because of who they are and or what they've achieved. We all can hit that spot of deviousness. You notice my son's hand shot up when I asked if you've ever broken something and tried to hide it right away from your parents. But then near the end of the story, as we got to with the kids, this unconditional and undeserved grace or love, these all speak to us and who we are. And it's not the celebration of treating each other poorly. This isn't the lifting up of toxic masculinity or imagining that God puts you through trials to get you where you need to be. All of that is just bad theology. Instead, what speaks to me above the all-too-real humanity of this story is twofold. First, this passage is a wonderful one to remind us that life is not always going to be perfect. You may feel like you're thrown in a ditch, discarded, forgotten. Rejection speaks to the core of our being and our need to belong. Rejection speaks of our need to be liked. And we can all think of a time when we've been rejected or dumped or fired or divorced. Sometimes it's a situation like Joseph when rejection actually feels kind of right. If that's how you'll treat me, fine. Good riddance, thought Joseph from the hole. Like those who have been manipulated or abused or worse, family to them is just another F word. To those victimized by those they loved. Rejection sort of cauterizes the wound in a way, enabled to move someone closer to healing, but it doesn't take away the sting. The Joseph story also reminds us that while life is never going to be perfect, sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. If we kept reading in our story, Joseph goes to the slave owner Potiphar, the slave owner's wife, Potiphar's wife, tries to sleep with him. Joseph says no. Joseph runs away. He's accused of rape and thrown in prison. Awesome. In the extremes of the culture of the time, in this that black-white nature, many would read into Joseph's situation a rejection by God. To think God, too, had forgotten Joseph because of the troubles he'd faced. But just as we're about to go there in the story, if you keep reading, it's around Genesis 39, we're told by the narrator, this omniscient voice that sort of speaks into the story, that the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love. This is literally as he's being hauled off into prison, this voice comes from above that says, the Lord was with Joseph. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. What an amazing declaration in the face of the problems of our lives, that no matter who rejects us, or the pain we endure, that those don't indicate that God has left us. God was with Joseph, as God is with us. God shows Joseph steadfast love, as does us in those moments when others cause us pain. And whatever Joseph did, when we are able to find strength in the midst of sorrow, God will make it to prosper. The story of Joseph goes on as he turns his gift of dreaming into interpretation, being able to find meaning in the dreams of those he's imprisoned with. The stories of his gifts make it all the way up the chain to Pharaoh, and Joseph interprets his dreams too. Knowing the world was never going to be perfect, Joseph bloomed where he was planted. The Lord made whatever he did prosper. Joseph turned the pain of rejection into hope. The story of Joseph reminds us that if we cannot move beyond the pain of a moment, we will never thrive. If we cannot heal, we will never be able to help. If Joseph did not deal with the anger he held towards his brothers, that anger would have dealt with him. These stories may feel like fairy tales to us, but they ring so true of the real stuff we put one another through. As the story concludes, Joseph is face to face with his brothers. And while there's aspects of getting even, he plays with them like a cat does a mouse. But ultimately, it rests on Joseph's compassion and love. He tests his brothers to see if they have any more love of one another, as they didn't seem to have for him. He feeds them when we would have easily forgiven him for punishing them for doing him wrong. He rises above his humanity, embodying the answer to the dreams of his family. This is the answer to the dreams of this world. As the song sings, the light is dimming and the dream is too, the world and I, we are still waiting, still hesitating. Any dream will do. I might be getting older, or I might be getting more cynical. We are in the midst of days that seem like light is dimming, and that dreams are too. And I wonder if it is this growing cynicism or just this fact that when we age, we tend to discount dreams more. When we're young, we encourage children to dream. The kids that were up here, if we asked them what they wanted to be when they grew up, we would encourage that dreaming. Preschool, for sure, you start at that age and you say, what do you want to be? And it's fireman or doctor or something. And you buy them costumes and you play into that dream. Because anything is possible. And when they hit kindergarten or grade one, they start to be tested as to see what box they fit in. And those dreams all sort of fall away, and we encourage them with whatever dreams stay and latch on, but we temper it a bit. Knowing what we know of this child as they grow, the light dims just a little bit. The dream doesn't die, but it changes as we age. It morphs as the child matures. We hesitate, we wait to see what might be. Dreams become not all the possibilities in the world, but at our ages, it's what keeps us up at night. Either unfulfilled expectations or downright silliness. We move from being Joseph to being Joseph's brothers. We jump on those dreamers and say, it wouldn't be possible, instead of joining in as to what might be. We struggle to play along with the dreams of others, and the light dims just a little bit more. I think we make a deliberate choice in this life as to what role we're going to play. Are we the ones to have dreams, to interpret dreams for this culture and our world? Do we fall into the hole that Joseph does of lording it over one another? Or do we learn as Joseph does into a way that brings us together? When we think of the dreams of our society, what dreams have you? When I was thinking about it, two instances popped into my mind. Does anybody remember a few years back, President Obama had an immigration act, and those who were affected by the immigration act were called Dreamers. It was an acronym, but what an awesome understanding of how to shape and reshape the world. When Martin Luther King stood before people with no hope, he said, "I have a," where he dreamed a new America based on justice and equality. For many, the world is still waiting. Light is dimming, racial inequality is still a fact, immigration, both in the U.S. and Canada, as to whether or not we have enough to share or whether or not it's our imperative to share it regardless. These are still waging wars in our time. And the light of compassion and love needs to rise above our instincts, which drive us towards revenge and greed and pain. Any dream will do so long as it unites us instead of divides. Even Joseph learns that. Maybe we can too. Amen.